This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hey, 4 minutes past seven. This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. Tonight you're joined by Dill and Caitlin. Caitlin, you are looking a vision tonight, my sweet.
No, Dill, you say that every time, doll, but I'm really not. I'm breaking out too much caffeine. Do you know that stuffs with your hormones and I get a breakout?
I don't think I could get enough caffeine into my system today. I was just like,
I know, that's dying. How I felt all day. I think it was a case of Mondayitis still.
Oh, nice little plug there. Gorgeous.
Little segue. Well, I like Dill. For those of you who can't see, Dill's got himself pretty much a shaved head, but he's left a chunk of hair for the mohawk in the middle. Mm-hmm. And Dill, with a face like yours, doll, you can pull off any hairdo.
Oh, Caitlin, stop it.
But coming to relevant things, Dill, what have we got coming up on the show?
Tonight on Generation Next, we'll be joined by Ashley from Y-Gender, who'll be talking about an art exhibition coming up. And for everyone who knows about Y-Gender, it's going to be pretty awesome. For those who don't, it's a support group for trans and gender diverse youth. So yeah, I'm really excited to hear from her. And we've also got some really interesting articles coming up about what our Prime Minister Kevin Rudd has in store for if he was to get stay in power.
Stay in power. Well, he is pro-marriage equality, but it'll be interesting to see what he does when he actually gets that position or that title, if he does. What did you think of the debate, Dill? Did you watch that last night?
I don't know, because I'm just so not sure.
Of either of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I just think, like, I'm such a, I believe it when I see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but baby, you have to make a vote, Dill. This is the thing. It's coming up.
That's the hardest thing, because I'm just like, I don't know who to vote for.
Well, you don't always have to vote for Labor or Liberal. You can vote for the Sex Party, for example, or the Greens.
I do actually love the Sex Party. Fiona Patton is just, I don't know, there's just something about how she talks and how she sounds.
You believe it.
I believe
you
everything that she
it?
Has to say. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Dill, it sounds like you've made your vote up.
Maybe I've
helped you just planted that seed in your head.
I'm now political thanks to you, Caitlin.
Darling, you were political well before I came along, let me tell you.
Well, we'd love to know what you have to say
about the debate last night, for example.
Yeah, or anything. If you want to join in the conversation, hit us up. Send us a text on 0427 569 949, or you can hit us up on Twitter with the @GNJoy handle. Caitlin, what did you get up to on the weekend?
Doll, actually was really sick. I've had like the flu. It's an awful little bug. I had acupuncture on Friday, spent all Friday night in bed, and then was at a call center doing job to earn, I guess, you know, a living to pay the play for the bloody acupuncture and all the pills.
Paper chaser.
Yeah, totally. But no, look, it was fun. It was relaxing. So hopefully this week I'll be coasting the breakfast show with Anastasia Kalogiannis Thursday morning, which will be awesome. Did Mondayitis this morning and, I didn't leave Joy until 4 o'clock today, and now I'm back with you. So, woo, the wheels haven't stopped.
You're definitely running through that caffeine right now.
Totally,
aren't you?
Adrenaline. Yeah.
Adrenaline junkie. I have to say though, I could not, because I don't know, like you know about this, but I hate my house at the moment because I live in the warehouse district and it's just, I hear trucks rolling in all the time.
At like 5 in the morning? That's so cruel.
They start at 4 and I know more about what's going on with these truck drivers' lives than I do my own friends. And I just like, I've lived in this place like 6 months now and I just cannot get any sleep. I am so like...
Have you tried those squishy yellow earplugs? If you round them into your ears before you sleep, they always do the trick.
Well, what's worse is like, if I sleep through it, my cat won't. And my cat's like, hey, feed me now.
Oh my God.
Feed me now.
Dill, that sounds like hell. You've got tradies like at 4 in the morning. You've got a cat wanting you to feed it.
And
Dill, out.
Doubt,
out. Well, yeah.
Out.
We need a new home. You need a new home.
Well, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I just feel so delirious from the lack of sleep. It's been 6 months now of just like,
Not cool, not cool. Is it worth the money, really? We all pay rent.
We all pay rent. Oh, do you know what? I'm actually moving in with my best friend at the end of this month, so...
Well, that sounds like you've got a sweet deal on its way.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm that sleep deprived. I totally lost where I'm going with this. But hey, we've got more Generation Next and critical news for GLBTI youth coming up right... Yeah, that's right. That's a promo, baby. Coming up right after this.
For listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Marsha Hines, and you're listening to Generation Next. Support Joy and become a member. Call 1300-569-949.
Generation. We've got 3 seconds to
Joy 94.9.
Caitlin, that was awesome.
I didn't touch anything, I swear.
No, that was all me. That was all me. I may have played an old ID, but you know what? It's nobody but a goodie.
I played one of her tracks today in Monday Artist, and I so should have played that ID before I played her a song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, although I think it was her daughter, Denny. You know, there's Marcia and Denny.
Yeah.
There's probably going to be third generation. Anyway, we'll cut to it. Why Gender is a youth support group for people who are gender diverse, and they've got an art exhibition coming up spanning over 2 weeks. Joining us tonight is the gorgeous Ashley from Why Gender to fill us in with more details. Ashley, welcome.
Hello, everyone. Hi, guys. I'm here to talk about our art exhibition, Who Am I?, which is running from the 17th to the 31st of August at 369 Lonsdale Street.
Now, what installations will be up at the exhibition?
Okay, so we're going to have a range of multimedia. So it's going to be paintings, photos, photograms, and just basically it's art that's been provided by members and supporters of the gender diverse community, basically here in Melbourne, but with us for public donations to the event, all from all over Australia. So hopefully we'll get a really diverse and really great range of things to display. Yeah,
fantastic.
Speaking of diversity, Ashley, what's the concept behind the show?
Well, it's really talking about personal reflections of gender, and it's a pretty open topic. I guess the title "Who Am I?" it's sort of exploring sort of boundaries of gender and where they come from and how people reflect on that. Yeah.
Cool. So when does this actually kick off? Like when can people start going to the
We've got an opening night on the 17th of August, and that's at 6 p.m. And on the opening night, it'll be quite a big thing. We'll be having performances from a range of artists.
Will you be performing at all?
I will be playing guitar, but we'll have free musicians, two dance and performance artists, and the fabulous Paige Phoenix will be coming and singing for us. So
that'd
be fantastic.
Sounds cool. And Ashley, you were going to do a little demonstration for us tonight to showcase your talents on the guitar.
Yeah, I was umming and ahhing, and then I wussed out. I didn't bring the guitar along with me.
I assure you, it's not as scary in the studio as it would be in front of an audience at the exhibition. But and also, I hear there's a movie night. What can you tell us about that part of the program?
Oh, well, Bailey, who's one of our Wide Gender members, is a bit of a movie buff, and she will be holding a movie night on the 23rd at 7 p.m. And for those who are into the horror genre and who are over 15 years of age, welcome to attend.
You know, I wish I could. Like, I love horror movies, but I like them in the safety of my own lounge room because
your cocoon.
I am such a screamer. Like, I am a screamer when it comes to horror movies. I jump, I flinch, and I'm like, oh my God, I really
really scared.
What's your favorite? I remember we talked about this the other week. What, you know what I just will not watch? The Human Centipede.
Well, I
cannot bring myself to
watch it in reverse, and that doctor is saving people's lives.
Oh, deal. That is the biggest line of rot I have ever bloody heard. Ashley, we're sorry. Darling.
It's fine.
Deal, carry on.
So I also noticed in the lineup for the event, there's a parent-child day in part of the exhibition. I guess, what was the idea of having that aspect of the exhibition? If I can talk properly.
It's really important to sort of include parents and loved ones in a discussion around gender and especially for people who are struggling with their own gender identity to have the support and understanding of parents.
So could this, would this day act as a conduit for opening a discussion? You could talk, say if you are a gender diverse person and you want to, share that side of yourself with your parents, could you bring them along?
I think that would be a fantastic idea. I think, it'd be probably the best forum to do that. And I encourage anyone who is a little bit curious about their gender to come along and have a look at the displays and sort of just, maybe bring that into a subtle conversation.
Because you have probably the best person to have as a parent, because you have a gender diverse parent, which is probably a really great thing to have. Was that easier for you when you were going through your gender discovery?
It was easier for me when I finally got the courage up to come out about it. But it took 10 years from my parent transitioning to me actually being honest with myself too. So that just, I think, shows how strong the gender binary can be and how hard the boundaries can be to cross sometimes. So any help that we can give to people to sort of break out of that sort of shell is a fantastic thing.
Ashley, that's such a good message to share with us. Can you tell our audience where they can find more details?
You can find more details on Facebook through the Why Gender page. Just look up Why. Just have a look here to make sure I don't get it wrong. But Why Gender, one word.
Check out the link, because when we're promoting the show, we put it up on the Facebook, on Generation Next Facebook. So if you're already on there, just go facebook.com/Generation Next, and then you can see Why Gender from there.
Yay. Or you can contact Why Gender at whygender.contact@gmail.com.
Sensational.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Ashley, for sharing. That sounds like such an exciting event and such a worthwhile event as well.
That's
best
good.
Of luck with everything, and don't be nervous with the performance.
Thank you.
Strum away.
I'll just clarify that it's at level 3, 369 Lonsdale Street, for anyone that wants to come along.
Excellent. Well, we can't wait for this installation to go up, and we're going to kick it off with Nicolette Forte's song Hold Your Hand. Do you know, I actually love this song because it was written about her girlfriend, how all she wanted to do was just hold her hand in high school.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, it's quite lovely.
If only relationships were that easy.
Oh, I know.
Hold my hand, Dil. We can be lovers forever.
We'll hold your hand during the song. You're listening to Generation Next.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
A little less straight than other radio stations. Joy 94.9.
Generation Next. Love it.
Hey, it's 24 minutes past 7. This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. We just had a text in from Ben saying, I thought the debate last night was a waste of the public's time. I'm your typical Gen Y. They're acting like managers, not leaders. I'd love someone of substance to get into that race for the top job. Let's be real, it's politics. Ben, couldn't agree with you more, matey.
Yeah, Ben, that was a really concise, fabulous message. And that's, I read The Age after it happened. I can't get access to normal cable TV at the moment. But Ben, that's what all the authors were saying, all the writers that were saying from The Age. Apparently, there was no clear winner, and they weren't really definitive on making a real stance. So, it's kind of repeating what they've done in the past.
Yeah, exactly. Time and time again. But hey, a little different. We've got Dougal here from Let's Talk Footy. What's coming up on the show?
No clear winner, Caitlin.
No, well, I mean, I didn't watch it, but that's what I said. I spoke on behalf of the journalists for The Age, and they were all just saying that it was basically kind of outlining everything they've said before, but apparently no one really shone the other, you know, no one really kind of took centre stage.
Well, a clear winner on Joy 94.9 is the newly formatted, newly structured Let's Talk Footy on Joy. And
slick.
Look, that's Joy's debate,
unfortunately, and very sadly as well, due to mitigating circumstances and, you know, uni and sporting club commitments, my two former Let's Talk Footy on Joy co-hosts Pat Kennedy and John Donohoe have had to relinquish their voluntary
Dougs, I'm
Joy
sorry to hear that.
Co-hosting
I'm sorry.
Roles. I'm not.
Oh, I hope they're not listening.
No, I hope they're not listening.
Wow. They leave and the cause comes out.
So, if they are listening, I'm sorry I said that. No, it is very saddening that they've had to relinquish their co-hosting duties on Joy, but these things do happen. But the show goes on. Well, life goes on,
as
it always does.
As it always does.
So we have reformatted Let's Talk Footy, and we're going to start embracing this Joy community a bit more. We're going to start looking at diversity and promoting social inclusion out there within the sport, within the game.
Well, you guys just last weekend were at the
MCG.
Right, with the Collingwood. Yeah, and you spoke with Eddie McGuire, who apparently was really kind of on the bandwagon.
I told Ben Lincoln, I said, Ben, you've got to get... Eddie was a Joy member of Joy back in...
He need to renew his membership?
Well, back in 2010, and see, his membership has lapsed since, so we need him to re-sign.
Re-sign,
I do apologise, Eddie, if you're listening in, but I said to Ben, make sure you bring it up, and anyway, I forgot, but anyway, so we'll aim
no,
for that
actually,
a bit later
David, on David Hunt actually brought it up with him, and David got a great response from Eddie, so it's all positive. Eddie is definitely a Joy member.
Well,
renewed.
That is absolutely fantastic, but joining me as co-host for Let's Talk Footy from at 10 p.m. this evening is, of course, the lovely, wonderful Mr. Trevor White. Of course, we hear Trev every Monday from 4 till 7 on Drive. So
we love
as if we haven't caught enough of Trev already, he's going to be on for the next hour from 10 to 11. But he's a mad Collingwood nut and loves his footy. So, look, tonight we are exploring community issues out there. Of course, the East Burwood Footy Club, their president, Mr. John Sword, will be joining us on the line to have a chat about some of the issues that the struggling Eastern Footy League Division 1 club are facing this year. Of course, the Victorian Women's Football League, another big talking point. The Victorian Women's Footy League had their grand final on Saturday between the Darabin F Falcons and the Diamond Creek Women's Footy Club. So, female development manager of the AFL, Shiloh Curtis, who was part of the outside broadcast at the G, she's actually joining us in studio as our special guest for tonight, and we're going to be talking about women's footy and the future of it within the AFL, and also a bit about the Women's Footy League Grand Final. And something else that we're going to be talking about is FIDA, F-I-D-A, and you don't know... You probably don't know what that stands for.
No, I'm making up my own acronym in my mind, though.
Got home on Saturday night from five grueling sets of tennis, and Mum said, do you know that... I've got a couple of family friends of ours have just returned from 13 years in America. And their eldest son, Jackson, is learning difficulties, developmental delay, and he's just started playing AFL. And I said, fantastic. Is it with the Eastern Footy Club or is it it's a special competition? It's a special competition that I found out that he plays with. It's FIDA. It's the Football Integration Developmental Association.
Oh, that's great.
And the purpose of them is to get all these kids, to promote inclusion, and kids that have got learning difficulties and intellectual disabilities, you're getting them together to be part of a team, you're playing in a comp. So we're having a chat with Jackson's coach, Clinton Fulgrave, about what his club, the Ringwood Spiders, are all about.
Fantastic.
So it's a very community-orientated footy show this
very
evening.
Very positive, Dougal.
It.
Keep it going.
Awesome. Well, Dougal, when can people tune in?
10 p.m. tonight. And if you miss it, it'll be podcasted tomorrow.
Sensational. Hey, we've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
A diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
It's 7:30, and this is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. You're joined tonight by Dill and Caitlin. And Caitlin, I just can't stop looking at your gorgeous face.
Dill, you just, honestly, you flatter me, doll. No, we need to talk about your gig at the moment when you're anchoring. You're doing an amazing job for Queer Young Thing on Channel 31. Tell us, how is all of that going?
Well, we've gotten to the halfway point now. We just shot episodes 5 and 6 over the weekend.
Are you kind of excited or sad, or is it a mixed thing?
I don't know. It's such
it's
a
happened
big...
so quickly.
Well, yeah. such a big learning curve, and it's just, I don't know, I'm really excited about it. I am so glad that I've been like a part of this project. Like over the weekend, we just covered coming out and living in like rural communities and like what it is to be like of the GLBTI.
Did you cover different rural areas or kind of did you focus on one?
Well, we had one girl who's lived all up and down the East Coast, and she was saying that there's, while no two rural towns are the same discrimination is...
Yeah, that sense of discrimination, the notion, yeah. So she identifies as lesbian?
She said that she was pansexual, which is
what's
like...
What's pan? Educate me.
Pansexual is where it's more than bisexual. Oh. It's you go for anyone. But I don't know.
I'm not laughing because that's a bad thing, but I'm giggling because that, wow, that makes dating quite difficult because your options are so vast.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Maybe our listeners could hit us up as well with a clear definition of pansexuality. Send us a
text.
And
if you identify as being pansexual, do explain the joys and the sorrows of being pansexual.
Pansexual, full on. Send us a text, 0427-569-949. Because, yeah, when she described it, she was saying that she'll go for everyone from male, female, trans.
Right.
But then, like, for me, I thought that would also be bisexual.
Well, it sounds to me like it would be. Obviously, it's just, she covers a wide breadth of sexual orientations or sexual identities, and it doesn't sound like she really distinguishes or really has a preference for women or men. Mm. Is that right?
That's what I took out of it.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm taking out of you. I'm taking that from you. But Dil, remember I interviewed you on Thursday and the producer of the show, Andrew McNamara.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and you guys, at that point, you hadn't obviously done any filming, but you've covered religion, you've covered regional issues in regional areas. What is coming up? What are you covering in the next few weeks?
Next few weeks we'll be doing university, like and
student life.
Student life,
cool.
Anxiety, depression, sex, drugs, love and lust. So I think and living healthy as well, that one just popped into my head.
Among all that uni lifestyle, if you're gay or straight, God, it's hard to keep healthy.
No,
as
absolutely.
A student.
It's hard to keep healthy in general. Like, I'm normally like such a fitness buff, but lately those cheap, crazy foods, that's what's been getting me.
I know. Well, the old pocket pinch. So Dil, when does the series wrap up?
Well, it actually wraps, we'll go to air in September, mid-September.
And that's Channel 31 for all of those who don't know. And Channel 31 on Now Digital, what is that called?
Channel 44, but we're still Channel 31.
Mm. So the title still, you're advertised as Channel 31, but it's Channel 44 into the TV.
On digital,
cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
But Ben TV, it's on every Monday at 10, and I'm so, so excited for Queer Young Thing to air. Like, the whole program.
I'm excited, and I haven't even sort of seen it yet. I've just heard so much about it.
I got to watch, like, a little sneak preview of one of the episodes, and it was weird. Because, you know, like, you know what it's like when you edit, like, your audio, and you're like, oh, the voice. But when it's TV, it's like your voice, your face, it's all there.
I know, it's the whole shebang.
Yeah, full on. And
but,
I'm like, my
but
face
doll, you've
like
got
that.
The face for it. I know. But you do analyze yourself when you see yourself on TV. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird experience.
It's just like, I didn't realize that my face was that malleable. Like, I just moved my face and contorted it.
Speaking of faces being malleable, there is a group on Facebook for Kevin Rudd, and it's called Ice Cream Face, which I told you earlier, which is shocking. But I thought it'd be funny to mention, obviously, with the upcoming election and the recent debate. Apparently, because it's like his face doesn't have any definitive, like, jawline or sort of structured nose or cheekbones, people can say you can sort of like, it's almost as if you compress his face like Plato. Isn't that shocking?
He's
our now Prime Minister. Where's the respect?
I think after Julia Gillard's time, I think it's definitely shown that there doesn't necessarily need to be a high level of respect for the Prime Minister.
Prime Ministers cop it just like the average kind of streetwalker does. I really feel for them.
Yeah, so do I. Because there's nothing really like that you could do, I guess, as a Prime Minister that you're not going to please everyone. You're going to make a lot of people quite disenchanted by your actions.
Yeah, I remember when I told you Julia Gillard had a toy for dogs at a toy shop made for her, and it was a dog chew toy, and it was Julia Gillard as the dog chew toy, and it had her big character couture nose accentuated.
Oh my God.
So that would be the biting point for the dog, on the nose. And it had this sort of red hair, and it was in a little suit, and it was, anyway, look, we have actual political and social real-time issues to discuss. So that will be coming up later on in the show.
Yeah, and hey, stick around because we've got more Generation Next. And I did see this track in the catalogue and it just made me smile. It made me miss these guys. This is Mind Over Matter and Somebody's Love.
More new music than any other radio station. Joy 94.9.
21 minutes to 8. This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. Dill and Caitlin here for your ear holes for all news surrounding LGBTI.
I love that ear hole. I've never heard that before.
Caitlin, it's about time
for Dylan.
Gay school, I do believe. And if you want to join in, hit us up, 0427-JOY-949.
There's a bear in there, and a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside. It's play school.
Our Prime Minister Kevin Rudd has accused the Queensland government of putting the community's health at risk as the controversial decision to severely cut services at the Brisbane Sexual Health Clinic attracts widespread criticism from medical experts, specialist physicians and other politicians. As we all know, last month the Liberal National Party government announced it would continue to allow the Metro North Hospital and health services to seriously downgrade services from the Baylor Free Sexual Health Clinic in central Brisbane, with staffing levels be dropped from 42 jobs to 10 and financial responsibilities moved from the state healthcare system to private GPs. This is...
This really had a lot of backlash. I remember when this was... this came up actually in my newsfeed because I'm part of a group that's associated with that. And it's incredible. The support from the community in Brisbane got together, and Kevin Rudd actually, I think, hosted one of them. They were so outraged because this was such a unique service apparently to the GLBTI community.
Yeah. And it's just insane.
And it was one of a kind in its own. And that's already, let's face it, that already is known as, I suppose, not the biggest gay-friendly city in Australia.
Well, yeah, there's a lot Queensland, a lot of I guess, ignorant, unintelligent conversations happening in there. And it's, this action from the Liberal National Party, it's brought, I guess... brought the attention of Tanya Plibersek, our federal health minister, who's labelled the decision as a disgraceful move that winds the clock back decades on sexual health in Queensland. It's also provoked the ire of the Queensland opposition leader Anastasia Palaszczuk and shadow health minister Joanne Miller.
Who also condemned. So they've also got even political support on their side. I know they had huge community outrage, but they've got now the political support. They obviously it's justified by needing to cut spending, you know, expenditure, and because it's a minority, the LGBTI community with the Brisbane Sexual Health Clinic in Bala, that is a minority. It's a very small portion of the Queensland population that are gay and needing those sort of services. They're very specific. But if you think about it, they're also a very vulnerable group in society all around the world. I mean, the LGBTI have got huge rates of suicide, huge rates of specific sexually transmitted diseases, and not to have that kind of service offered to them is really going to cause serious issues.
Yeah, I'd go so far as to say it's almost critical. Hey, we've got more of Gay School and GLBTI news coming up right after this.
Generation Next. Love it.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
12 minutes to 8 on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Generation Next. We got a text in. What year is it in Queensland anyway? Can women vote there yet?
Oh, that is a bit of a stab at Queensland. Well, you didn't disclose who you were, but we appreciate your contribution to
the
show.
We do, yeah. And I don't think the listeners fully understand how much that we love thought-provoking conversations. And when you have something that that you might disagree with us, text us. Let us know. We love having a conversation with you.
And we love it even more when you agree. So, so either or. No, actually, we prefer it if you disagree. Look, the US consulate engages in community issues about GLBTI youth. So Dylan, I thought this was perfect to talk about. The US consulate in Melbourne gathered representatives from Victorian LGBTI organisations for a roundtable discussion last Monday on issues facing the GLBTI youth. The consulate presented created the event as part of the Obama administration and the US Department of State's ongoing commitment to LGBTI rights as a foreign policy cornerstone. And it follows an earlier panel discussion hosted by the consulate in June on LGBTI issues in Australia and the US.
Yeah, I think this was great. And it's just, it's good getting that discussion out there and just have seeing what can people do and what can the community do for the youth and how we can work together to, you know, make sure that every generation that passes is better than the next
or is treated better than the next and has got more equal rights and less governmental issues. They've got more support from the government in terms of taxes being recognised as a couple, health services that are available to transgender operations that are covered by things like Australian Unity and stuff like that, which currently they're not.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of trans expenses are out-of-pocket expenses.
Totally. That's not recognised. And also, it was great because, Dil, a lot of the organisations that support Joy, like Star Observer, Minus 18, Transgender Victoria, Safe School Coalitions, Victoria Rainbow, Labour, so forth, they were all part of the advocate sort of meeting. So that was really good.
Do you know what? I absolutely love the Safe Schools Coalition for Victoria. I think that they...
Why is that specifically? Like,
why? Because they go into schools. And because if you're, say that one of our listeners out there is at a school where there's a lot of homophobic comments, there's a lot of
denigrated statements. There's an attitude, yeah, there's like a general...
Yeah, if they were to approach the Safe Schools Coalition and get the Safe Schools Coalition to come in, what they do is they educate the teachers and say, it's actually, what you're doing is illegal.
Wow.
What you're doing is discriminating and creating an unsafe environment for kids, students. That's illegal under Australian law.
And I think using legal jargon or legal terminology, I think is a better word, makes it perhaps sound a little more serious and really kind of clarifies the seriousness and the possible consequences of that, which can lead to things like suicide. It can lead to depression, anxiety, stuff like that.
Exactly.
So if you put stuff in legal terms, I think people are perhaps more likely to pay attention rather than kind of in these emotional,
Yeah, absolutely. And they really get in there and say and like teach the teachers that one thing, like being gay or trans, does not cause depression and anxiety. Being around homophobic,
it's an attitude towards that. It's the response towards that, whether it's positive, yeah, negative, encouraging, degrading. That's what obviously creates a sense of anxiety and fear in going to school, if you feel that you're not going to be accepted for who you are when you go, and you're going to walk out feeling worse.
Well, I remember last year we had one of our listeners text in, and she was a trans student, and said that she actually can't go to school. She doesn't feel safe going to school.
That's so sad.
Yeah, she had to move into like a homeschool setting, which I think is just absolutely appalling for a young person to be.
You hope she's now got access to certain facilities that can, like counselling services, because there are quite a few. There are so many that are catered for the LGBTI community. But it's for kids out there. It's knowing how to access them. I know the internet can give you anything, but if you don't know what to Google, then you're stuck. And if your friends, you don't talk about it with your friends, and you're not comfortable talking about it with your family, it's very hard. You're kind of cornered.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And just touching on surrounding LGBTI health and sexual health and LGBTI youth mental health experts have denounced the lack of specific anti-bullying and HIV information in the draft national curriculum on health and physical education.
Well, you made a really good point, Dil, on the show a few weeks ago, that you think that schools really should implement more general sexual health information, not just for straight couples, not just for heterosexual sex. Like the benefits and the health concerns around gay sex, so we're treated equally in class. You know, there is gay sex, there's straight sex, and we're going to educate you on both.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that they should...
If it starts at school, it's not as bad when they leave school, you hope.
Oh, absolutely.
At least you try and give them a better head start.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, they should also do it in the... I think they should do it in the same landscape as the heterosexual students, because that way, at least if you're having that conversation, if you normalise it, hey, there's no issue. There's no beef whatsoever.
This is just as normal as the other type of sex. It's between two people of the same sex, but it's just as loving and just as consensual if that's the case. And also, wouldn't it be statistically that there would be maybe one in every five children in that particular classroom that probably would be gay?
Yeah.
If you did the statistics in a classroom of 30 kids, there would be a certain percentage that would probably be gay anyway.
Yeah,
so they
exactly.
need that information. Dil, we had a text in, Dol.
Oh, we have, straight in. I'm John. Someone from your show's Twitter just retweeted me. Now now I'm listening to you guys instead of doing uni work. Hey, that is awesome, John.
Keep up the good work. We will, as you should, Johnny.
John, I'm all for the distracted, not doing work anymore, because I do it all the time. Like when I'm preparing for the show and I'll just start, I don't know, I'll get on my phone and then I'm like, wow, there's 4 hours I've lost.
I think the brain just deliberately wants to avoid it.
I agree with you there. With the draft, National Mental Health and Anti-Bullying and HIV Information, New South Wales Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby Policy Officer Jed Horner expressed a concern schools could interpret this as making discussions of sex, sexuality and gender diversity optional, and they could also ignore the topics completely. In addition, Jed Horner criticised the fact that homophobic or other LGBTI-specific bullying is not actually named in the draft, which includes a generic section on diversity. I think that we need to have more discussion, and I really, really would love, more openness to the public, because we hear about these drafts, but then we don't really get to see a follow-up on it until it's already been implemented, or unless someone has a problem with it.
Yeah, that's true. Like the get passing through Parliament, passing through constitutional issues and rights and things like that. I completely like get the curriculum, which is the black and white books that are printed. Like getting that changed is going to take so much time.
Yeah.
So many. I mean, they probably still use the same books that they were when I was at school. God knows.
Oh, we've got another text in from Kyle saying, "I love you, Skies." Kyle, we love you too, buddy. And I've got another text in from Michelle. "Hey, Dylan, love your show. You're helping to change the world for GLBTIQ youth. It can concerns me greatly that we as parents don't discuss these issues more. Next week on Stand Up Straight, I have 3 straight students talking on gay issues."
Oh, Michelle Barber, she's fabulous. Her and her husband, Stephen, I went out for a meal with once after I did the drive show with David Hunt. There, he's a great mate of it. Michelle, that's a shout out to you. Thank you very much for your text to the show. I agree with you completely, Michelle.
And sadly, our Joy 94.9 listeners, we are out of time, but stick around. Worldwide Waves is coming up right after Generation Next. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.